Welcome back into the Gabe Kuhn Show. This is Connor Dunning filling in. I'm now joined by someone who, in my opinion, is one of the best basketball minds in the country, not just the cities of Memphis, especially when it comes to Grizzlies basketball. He is the creator and author of Substack Elitist, a Grizzlies and NBA Draft free Substack. All support goes to St. Jude. He's on Twitter at @Paka_Flocka. Parker Fleming, how are you, my friend?
Man, wow. Wow, this is great. I'm in the studio?
In studio.
Dude, I feel like we're kind of running back Hoops Island a little bit.
Hoops Island, and I was going to bring up, run it back.
Yes.
We've had two previous NBA podcasts over the last, you know, decade or so. Parker and I had two NBA podcasts, and I was going to say, Chandler Parsons, not only did he steal money from the city of Memphis and the Memphis Grizzlies, he stole our podcast title, Run It Back. Because his show is
FanDuel.
Run It Back.
A FanDuel.
Yeah, just what
a... I mean, he has enough money. You can give us a little royalties.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Throw us... Let me hold a dollar, Chandler Parsons. I know you got him. I know you got him, man. I'll keep my mouth quiet about what I saw at the Bluff.
Yeah, we will turn a blind eye to all your activity in Memphis if you just give us a name or give us some cash.
Right.
Just let me hold 20.
It's not too much to ask. Yeah, he's got, what, $90 million that we for sure know he got for the Memphis Grizzlies? Thank you, George, with the sound effects. Okay. It has been a busy offseason for the Memphis Grizzlies. One of the bigger moves that they have made is the signing of Ty Jerome. How do you think Ty Jerome's going to fit in with this Memphis Grizzlies basketball team?
I think Ty Jerome's going to be excellent, to be honest. I know people are talking about, oh, the Indiana Pacers series, he was so bad. Yeah, he might have lost some cash in that series, but... If you just kind of like look back and realize the context behind that series, Darius Garland, who's now out for 4 months with toe surgery, Evan Mobley and DeAndre Hunter both missed game two, so they were all banged up throughout the series. I thought Donovan Mitchell might have had some sort of injury stuff he was dealing with. And then it's like, oh, hey, Ty Jerome, go cook in replacement of Darius Garland against an Indiana Pacers team that was maybe better than we all thought and were a game away from the NBA Finals. And even then, if you took away that 1-14 shooting game, like, he had a pretty solid postseason. But no, for the Grizzlies, it's quite wonderful where I know you've seen it too, where like on Twitter, you'll be like, oh, the Grizzlies need to go get this bench bucket getter. They need a bench bucket getter, bench bucket getter. Ty Jerome was the best scorer off the bench last year. Literally on a per minute basis, he averaged like 21 points per 36 minutes, 43% from three. And I saw he shot like 52% on floaters and on one of the highest volumes in the league, as well as Jaren Jackson Jr. It's just kind of perfect because, for one, he's going to be able to run the pick and roll well. He generated about like a little over 1 point per pick and roll possession because he's a guy that can leverage it not only from beyond the 3-point arc, but he can get to his spots in the mid range and just let that floater go. He's a guy that, you know, when John Morant either needs a rest or if he's out, he could be a starting point guard in pinches. And I think also, too, it's one area that's going to work well is how he plays alongside Morant or alongside Pippen. Because with Morant, it's a guy that can get Ja in different spots on the floor and allow him to attack the basket from a different angle. But also, he's a guy that's going to space the floor for Morant as well, as a guy that shot roughly 45% on catch-and-shoot threes. And for Pippen, kind of puts him in a natural role where – Pippen's not a natural point guard. He's a scoring guard. But now he can kind of operate as like that combo shooting guard. And also, too, focus more on hounding the opposing ball handler instead of also being like, oh, well, I got to run this offense, too, and run all these pick and rolls in this new Tomas Isolo offense. They now have two really strong pick and roll engines that they can run out at for all 48 minutes. And I think when you're talking about getting a guy with this room exception of $8.8 million. Like, I think Ty Jerome's probably the best player you could have gotten. Like, maybe like him or Brooke Lopez, probably the best you could have gotten. And I don't know, man. I think this is going to work really well. He has a little swagger to him. He gets hot. Like, he's a guy that he has a takeover stretch for 4 or 5 minutes of the game. And you're like, yeah, this is wrapped up. Like,
he's a microwave.
And yeah, I'm excited for the Ty Jerome experience. And just having another comfortable ball handler, because when the Grizzlies lost Desmond Bane and Luke Kennard, I immediately went to like, yeah, like I like the wings that they have. I like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Jalen Wells, Cedric Howard, but they're not creators
right.
to the magnitude that you had with Desmond Bane or even Luke Kennard. And Ty Jerome is a very good creator and a very good shooter. Where, like, yeah, you may not be able to replace all of Desmond Bane, but as you're replacing him in the aggregate, like, Ty Jerome is a perfect piece to have into that cog. So I'm excited for the acquisition there.
Speaking of pick and roll, because as we've already seen in Summer League, which we'll get to here in a moment, we are seeing that T.I. likes to use pick and roll. And we know that to maximize a guy like Ja Morant and a guy like Zach Edey, there needs to be more pick and roll in this offense. And I think that over the weekend, they made a move at the center position to bring in somebody that fits that system a little bit better than the offense from last year. They sent off Jay Huff to Indiana, and I know you've been doing a lot of Indiana spots because people are asking about Jay Huff. They're going to miss his three-point shooting ability. We're going to miss his behind or his reverse dunks. Those are very exciting. But ultimately, they needed a center that can run pick and roll, that can defend the rim and rebound. And Jay Huff wasn't really able to do that. So they sent him out, got a couple of assets back from him, kind of got the tool chest back from what they sent off for Cedric Howard, and now they have Jock Landale. Jock Landale was one of the best pick and roll guys per 100 possessions last season in the NBA. How do you like his fit in TI system?
I'm going to steal a mantra. Well, real quick, you're also going to miss seeing Jay Huff at Trader Joe's.
I know. I do see Jay Huff at Trader Joe's a lot. Yeah. I am going to miss seeing him there.
Yeah. So, no, but I mean, it's one of those things where, like, Jay Huff was good for what he was. And like you said, in the offense, it wasn't a lot of screen and roll. There was a lot of space. There's a lot of cutting, a lot of motion. Jay Huff fit because he can space the floor. And obviously from his reverse dunks, he's a great cutter guy that can crash the offensive glass from the perimeter and just kind of come out of nowhere. But he just didn't have like the screen contact to be an effective pick and roll guy, especially in a Ja Morant offense. You need a guy, especially with Zach Edey out, that's going to set some harder screens and be able to roll more effectively than pop. With Landale, I'm going to steal your mantra for the Grizzlies offseason. It's don't let perfect get in the way of good.
Yeah.
Because, like, Jock Landale, like, yeah, like, we don't have, like, he's a backup big man, but that's okay. Like, that is what the Grizzlies need right now, is a pure backup big man. With Jaren Jackson Jr. potentially missing time, Zach Edey missing a lot of time, and just Brandon Clark coming back from another lower body injury, they needed another pure big man out there. And when I saw the Rockets roster situation where I'm like, okay, they extended Steven Adams and they brought in Clint Capella, like, and they had already pushed this guarantee date for Jock Landale. I'm like, all right, he's gone. This is somebody the Grizzlies should go get. Sure enough, they do. And like you said, good screener. He can protect the rim pretty well. Like he typically trends as a positive defender. I know if you look at a lot of his metrics and his numbers from last year, it kind of dipped a little bit, and that's just because he was getting inconsistent minutes. He didn't know he was going to play on any given night. And I listened to a podcast. Yeah, what's funny, I heard all this commotion from people being like, oh, the playgroup stuff's so stupid. All the good teams do it. How else do you want players to be ready to play? Do you think they just sit on the bench and be like, oh yeah, I'm ready for this time? No. It's these playgroups. It's the stay-ready groups. I even heard Lamar Stevens talk about it in Boston. I saw a story about Xavier Tillman leading that in Boston. And now Jock Landale in Houston. How else do you expect these guys to stay ready? They just simulate live game action.
I will say.
That was one of my dumbest gripes.
I will say.
To be honest.
Stay ready group sounds a lot better than play group.
That does go crazy.
I think this may just be a marketing thing.
No, but they also, I think I was listening to Mismatch today in Vernon. They said that they called themselves the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they would even have like these really competitive games, and like they would have like
they'd
a championship
the crap out
belt.
Of each other. Yeah.
Which I wouldn't expect anything less out of Houston, who in that group they had Jock Landale, Jayshon Tate, Reed Shepard, among like whoever else is in the roster that's not at the top of my head right now. Like
Cam Whitmore was probably in
it. Cam Whitmore, like from an Ime Udoka team, I'm not shocked at all. But yeah, like this is, but also within all that, like, you know, with consistent playing time, he is a bit more productive, especially defensively. But through that kind of stuff, you see a pro. And we always have, like, everybody's been talking about the last few years, the Grizzlies need veterans. And you kind of felt a big veteran presence leave when Steven Adams left. And I'm not saying Jock Landale does it at the level of Steven Adams, but, like, you're bringing in another pro that could, you know, teach these young guys that if their playing time is inconsistent, like, hey, let's do this, let's do that. But also, too, like, he's a veteran for Zach Edey. Like, a guy that can show Zach Edey's the ropes, especially as he's easing his way back in. I mean, from a guy that's most likely going to get spot minutes, like, this is a good pickup. Like, there's no notes. Like, this is good. He's going to fit Isla's system. And I think it can kind of pay a little bit more dividends than we may be talking about right now.
Yeah, it's one of those good, not great. You're not throwing a parade over it, but I think it makes your team a little bit better. And it's not to say that Jay Huff isn't a good basketball player. He is a good basketball player. I think he's going to be successful in Indiana because of how they run their offense. And I think that Jock's going to be successful in Memphis because of how they're going to run their offense next season. It just made more sense for Jay Huff to be on Indiana. And when you're getting assets back for a guy like that to try to rebuild that treasure chest that you sent off for Cedric Howard, listen, it was just a couple second-round picks, really, and then the Orlando 28 first, which I think is not going to be that valuable by the time we get to 2028 because the Magic are going to be good.
It also may be the least valuable first-round pick the Grizzlies own.
Right.
So, like, I don't – and also maybe it goes to show, too, like, hey, let's not flip out whenever the Grizzlies – or whenever an NBA team trades away second-round picks because of how easy it is to get those back.
It's you quite literally, I think, a week after the Grizzlies made that trade, I can't remember which team did it, but they just bought a second-round pick from somebody. You can just buy second-round picks. Just send people cash. And they'll be like, okay, here's a second-round pick. It's not hard to get them. They grow on trees in the NBA.
The Lakers did that.
Right. It was the Lakers. Yeah, exactly. It was the Lakers that did it. So I like the pickup of Jock. I did want to ask you, though, there has been kind of a storyline around the Grizzlies because of the moves they're making this offseason. You know, they sent off Desmond Bane, you got KCP back, but you got Cedric Coward, then you drafted two more guys in Javon Small and Mayshak, who we'll talk about here in a moment. But it does feel like the Grizzlies have kind of looked at the Western Conference, they've looked at the lay of the land and said, we're not ready to compete yet. We've got to make sure that Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. can, one, stay healthy for a full season, and we need to surround them with players who are defensive-minded and can knock down a shot. So a lot of people are saying the Grizzlies are going to take a step back this season because of the moves that they have made, but it's a calculated step back. It's not a step back because they're not going to have any sort of future. It's not a rebuild. It's a retool. Do you agree with that line of thinking?
Yeah, like, it's a retool. And, you know, I think it's one of those things where it could just be like, because it's like, if you look at it on paper, trading Desmond Bane is a step back, especially in the manner that you trade him for four first-round picks in a swap, plus also you get a veteran who everyone kind of said, like, this might be a negative contract, and in a contract, too, that they're trying to trade or buy out with Cole Anthony. But, I mean, it's one of those things. I go either direction. For one, like, one step back, two steps forward may not be the worst thing because, like, you know, you also just never know, like, Jalen Wells can take another leap. Cedric Howard could be better than we all expect. Or G.G. Jackson, who we're going to talk about shortly, like, he could become like a real impact player off the bench. But it goes back to your point about Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. Because when the Grizzlies have those two guys, they're just not a bad basketball team. And
they win games when Ja plays.
They win games.
Period.
Yeah, like, take for example, compare this team to the 2019 Ja's rookie year. And now think about the fact that you have a better Jaren Jackson Jr. and a better Ja Morant. And I'm just going to pull this out, too. Like, last season, the Grizzlies' net rating with Jaren, Ja, and Dez on the floor, they had a plus 7.53 net rating. That's good. Like, that's a really good playoff team. And when I bring this up, this is not Desmond Bane shade at all. But with Jaren and Ja on the floor without Bane, in about 200 fewer minutes, they had a plus 14.98 net rating with just as good at offense, but a way better defense. So, you know, maybe let's just see how it all looks. Yeah, everything looks different on paper. And, you know, we look at all these other teams in the West. I'm like, oh, wow, look at this roster on paper. They have this guy, this guy, this guy. And also, like, what we were talking about before we went on air is, like, fan base doesn't really do a good job of, you know,
Rating guys.
Yeah. Like, spent all season talking about getting rid of Jaren Jackson Jr. and Santi Aldama, and those two guys are very good basketball players and got paid accordingly.
Real quick on that, I do think a point that needs to be made about Jaren and Santi is, one, they're better than really any free agent that you would be able to sign here in Memphis. One of the ways to success in the NBA in today's day with the new CBA and how it all works, you have to draft and retain talent.
Mm-hmm.
Jaren and Santi are two very talented basketball players. Jaren Jackson Jr., more so. But you're kind of getting him on a bargain deal now. And this is something that you've been a proponent of recently. Cap percentage rather than number
yeah.
is how things need to be reported. Because I do think that there is a bit of a shock when you see these numbers and you're like, oh my God,
yeah.
you're getting $50 million a year. But then when you actually go and look at the salary cap and the hit on it, it's not nearly as bad as it appears when you just see that number.
Yeah, no. I was looking at it earlier, and Jaren Jackson Jr., where if he would have gotten to be All-NBA, and granted, I wanted him to be All-NBA.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I think it's stupid to root against guys making All-NBA. But because of that, Jaren Jackson Jr. throughout his contract will never make more. I might be wrong. Spotrac may not have updated correctly, but he'll never make more than 30% of the cap. Santi Aldama will never make more than 11% of the cap. Like, and those are like, Jaren Jackson Jr. You can quite literally call him the 17th best player in the NBA last year. He was 17th in all NBA voting. Santi Aldama, very good sixth man.
Also a movable contract.
And movable
if you need
contract,
to.
Yeah. But the overarching point is, let's just see, for one, if John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. can stay healthy. And two, like, let's just see how it all works, you know, because, like, for example, like, we may be judging these guys off summer league, but these guys are also going to look a lot different playing next to John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. I'm more just wait and see, but this is how it is in the Western Conference, because, like, we could be looking at stuff on paper, and this, like, knock on wood, but, like, it happens every year. A team that is projected to be, like, a top five team in the West, they slip to 11 or 12 because... Or they slip all the way deep into the play-in and miss the playoffs because of injuries. Like, it happens every year.
Or they trade Luka Doncic
and then piss off the basketball gods and have everybody get hurt.
And then get rewarded with the number one pick.
Still upset about that. But but still, like, I mean, even then, with the Memphis Grizzlies in the 2023-2024 season, they ended up, you know, having an injury-riddled season, won 28 games. It happens. It happened with the Golden State Warriors after they won their titles. Like, it just happens, you know? So let's just wait and see how the season actually shakes out instead of how everything looks on paper. But guess what? Now with this mindset, there's not this championship expectation. It's, hey, let's see what's going to work, and let's see who can be a part of that team that does go all in on bringing a championship to the city of Memphis.
I still think that play-in is a doable thing for this Grizzlies team. And I know that that stinks for some people to hear. You don't want to hear that, especially when you have young, quote-unquote, superstar players like John Morant. And you have Jaren Jackson Jr., who is now an all-star, defensive player of the year, all-defense, was almost all-NBA. There is, I know, a tendency to want to go all-in on these guys, but there's not really an all-in move that the Grizzlies could make right now. So they decided, okay, let's take a step back. Let's try to get some of these young wing guys, see if one of them hits. If they do, that'll raise our ceiling. But we need to try to build a team around Ja and Jaren the same way that OKC built around SGA, in the same way that the Pacers built around Tyrese Haliburton and Pascal Siakam. Like, when I look at the Pacers and the Thunder and what they did, it feels like the Grizzlies are trying to replicate that this offseason with some of the moves that they've made.
Yeah, and like, also, let's look at it this way, too. We're going to talk about all-in moves. With that Desmond Bane trade, they got a pick that could be very good.
They got a lot back from him. A lot back.
They also got a pick that could be a very good pick because of the trade, and they have this pick that could be the Phoenix Suns pick, and I think DraftKings just had their over-under odds come at 30.5.
For the Suns?
Yes.
Ooh.
So, like, that could be a very good pick. And remember, what all the trade rumors and stuff were out there was that the Boston Celtics would only listen, or the Boston Celtics or Milwaukee Bucks, like, when it came to, like, Giannis or Jaylen Brown or Derek White, they were only going to talk to teams in the top 10. So, like, you can get that asset to where maybe it's like, hey, you can't, there's not that all-in move right now, but what if it's next summer? Or what if it's even the summer after that, where maybe you, after you do get a top lot, like a top lottery guy, like a Cameron Boozer, or further down the list on names that are way too early to say right now. And next thing you know, they're a crown jewel piece that can really go get you somebody. So again, it's just like a wait and see. And if it's a play-in, great. I still think that they could be like, they could make it into the fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think
they
that's...
could. Again, if Ja gives you 65 games, you should be a playoff team. Ja's that good. We saw what he did in game 3 against the OKC Thunder. He was on the court with the MVP and soon-to-be finals MVP, and he was the best guy out there. Without a doubt, the best guy out there. When Ja plays basketball, the Grizzlies win. Period. So if he can give you 65 games, this team should still be a playoff team. Maybe a play-in, but they should be a playoff team as long as Ja can give it a go. But that is the biggest X factor of the Grizzlies the last few seasons. Can this team stay healthy? That is the number one factor. Real quick, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Grizzlies Summer League, get into GG Jackson, Jalen Wells, Cam Spencer, and the two rookies. Stick around. You're listening to Connor Dunning on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Welcome back into the Gabe Kuhn Show. This is Connor Dunning filling in. I'm still joined by one of the best Grizzlies minds you can possibly find, and Parker Fleming. He is the creator of Substack, Elitist Grizzlies, and NBA Draft free Substack. One more time, support all goes to St. Jude. So make sure you're going over to Substack Elitist and you are subscribing. You can find him on Twitter at @Paka_Flocka. Parker, I want to dive into the Grizzlies Summer League, and I want to start with what I've been calling the big three of Grizzly Summer League: GG Jackson, Jalen Wells, and Cam Spencer. The first two games, seen a lot of good things from them. I do want to focus on GG Jackson, though. Last year was just kind of a lost season for GG overall after a very, very promising rookie season. And one big reason was he had that injury in the offseason. Then when he came back, he just could never really find himself in that new offense that they were trying to run. And we've got to be honest about it. He was struggling on the defensive end. It wasn't necessarily about effort. It was more about being in the right place at the right time. He couldn't really anticipate what the offenses are doing. So far in the summer league, I have been pleased with his defensive activity. And on the offensive end, he's not just dribbling the basketball around anymore. And he's not just trying to go one-on-one with people. He's getting downhill and he's getting to the rim. I've liked the development that we've seen from GG Jackson. I wanted to ask you, what do you think his role could be with this Grizzlies team this upcoming season?
I don't want to give like a full player comparison or like a one-to-one or pigeonhole GG, but can you just do what Brandon Clark does and just finish plays effectively? I think the thing that's really nice about, you know, what you see with BC, but also what you see with GG in Summer League, is there's no wasted motion. It is catch, make a move, get downhill, and I'm just going to go dunk it on somebody.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know people are like, oh, he needs to be more of a playmaker. And like, yeah, he has zero assists in two games. But for the time being, I just like the confidence. Like you said, he's not going ISO. He's not trying to, as he said in his media day in his rookie year, he's not trying to heem guys anymore. Like, he's getting the ball, making a move, and driving. And I would rather... He's being decisive with the ball in his hands. He's making quick decisions, and he's also, you can see him crash in the offensive glass as well. And yeah, making reads would be cool. Like, I would like it if he would drive and make a kick out or whatever, but I like the confidence of, hey, I'm going to drive a dunk on this dude's head.
Yeah.
He's dunked the ball so much in the summer league, but... But no, like, it's been very cool to see, like, zero waste of motion, but also this is kind of what you want from a year three guy, is when he just looks physically and, like, just
dominant.
Dominant.
Bigger, stronger, and faster.
Like, this, like, obviously it wasn't as quite emphatic as we saw from Jake LaRavia last year, but, like, with Jake LaRavia, like, he looks like one of the better players out on the floor, and it ended up being momentum for him to make an impact in his year three. I think GG Jackson could be on that similar... Obviously has a lot more upside. Let's be clear. He has more upside than that. But he definitely has given me more confidence that he could be a guy that could be in the rotation next year. And just from there, just wait and see. he can maybe make an impact, but I like what he's done right now. Yeah, what do you think?
I think that he has an opportunity this season because it does feel like we touched on a little bit in the first segment that we did. It feels like this is kind of a we've got to see what we got season that the Grizzlies have. And with some of the injuries early in the year, GG Jackson is going to have an opportunity. And I still think he's a very talented player. He's got a good head on his shoulders. Everything he has said this offseason is exactly what you want to hear from him. It sounds like he has a better relationship with T.I. than he did with Taylor Jenkins, which, you know, we can get into the reasons of why that is. But it does appear like he is listening to this coaching staff. They are telling him the right things. Get downhill, get downhill, get downhill. They're explaining defensive schemes to him. It sounds like a little bit more than he was being told last year. I am hopeful that GG can be a part of this rotation this season. He's going to have the opportunity. He's got the talent. Is he just going to be able to step up? We know that he did in an injury-riddled season that the Grizzlies had 2 years ago. Now I want to see him impact winning basketball. Mm-hmm. That's the next step. We know that he can be effective in games that don't necessarily matter. Can he be effective in games that do matter? That is the next step for GG Jackson. And that's why I think that we know what he can do offensively. And the reason the downhill element is exciting is we already knew that GG Jackson had a shot. We knew that he can hit a three. What is he going to do defensively? That's going to keep him on the court. His offense is going to get him on the court mm-hmm. because of his potential there, but his defense is going to keep right. him on the court, and that's the next step.
And here's the thing that with GG's defense, I don't need him to go guard the opposing team's best player. I don't need him to guard primary ball handlers because you have Jalen Wells, you have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, you have Scottie Pippen Jr., and, you know, you have Jaren Jackson Jr. Like, can you just be a guy that can read coverages? Because he's going to get put in ball screens. Like, can he read coverages and figure out what to do next? Can he give effort? Can he crash the glass? Because the thing that could also be very good for GG defensively is while it's not necessarily stopping somebody or making a big time block, or whatever, he has that athleticism where he can just go up and get a rebound, and he has the fluidity where he can make a 1-2 dribble, hit ahead, and next thing you know, you are flying up the court.
A couple times last night.
Right. And the thing that's fun with that too is he's running just as fast up the court and finishing plays. So like this is what GG has to be. Just be a play finisher. You don't have to be this ISO creator. Just finish plays. Be a knockdown shooter. Make quick decisions to get downhill. Cut to the basket, crash the glass, kind of that hustle stuff a little bit.
Yeah.
I think there is a pathway for him to make an impact on winning basketball if he just keeps that kind of stuff simple.
Yeah, and the good news is for GG, he's so talented offensively. Mm-hmm. Just be serviceable defensively. Don't be bad. Just don't be bad.
And not saying he wasn't giving effort, but just give effort because you can gain a lot of leeway just by giving effort.
Absolutely.
That's all he has to do.
Do you view GG as a three or a four?
Four.
Really?
Four, for sure. I think one thing that I noticed defensively is I don't think he's like exactly the most mobile. Like he's light on his feet and all that, but like his hips, like he struggles with changes in direction, where I just think he'd be better off defending fours, and who knows, maybe when he's like 22, 23, 24, he can maybe defend down and defend fives because he's huge. Like he's huge for a forward. Like I just think he's more of a four. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You've seen a lot of guys make money being fours that can play pinches of the three, like Santi Aldama, PJ Washington, guys like that. But yeah, I just think he's more of a four than a wing.
Speaking of defensive effort, we certainly saw a defensive effort last night from one of the Grizzlies rookies. I think I may have fallen in love last night. You know how much I love a glue guy. Mayshak was in the game. He had 10 fouls, but he was extremely effective on defense. But there was flashes of playmaking that I don't think I necessarily expected to see from him last night.
I'm just going to go out there and say this. I don't think I've ever loved a Tennessee Vol athlete more than I love Jamai Mayshak. The fouling, yeah, he was pretty handsy defensively.
Yeah, you get 10 of them, use him.
Yeah.
We can also be honest about it. The referees last night were absolute cheeks. They were terrible.
I want to be completely honest, dude. I can't take anything defensively like when there's a foul every time on the court. Like, I just cannot take, I'm like, there's no clear takeaway other than the refs are calling way too much, too many fouls here. And, but no, dude, this is a dog. And I might say something here that might make your heart flutter here, but the Grizzlies have needed a guy that could just get around screens, and they haven't had that since Dylan.
DB?
Yeah. Ooh. Exactly. Like having a guy where it's like he's not phased by a screen, and he's a guy that can also like get steals, get blocks. But man, the playmaking was like the skill where I'm like, yo, like
9 assists, 1 turnover.
And it wasn't just like, oh, here, swing, like catch, swing. Like, no, he was moving. He was trying to screen and short roll, make him move into open space so that he can make the next pass. He was stringing actions together. He was being a connector. He was pushing the ball up the floor in transition and making the hit aheads. He had a nice alley-oop in transition. And like I replied to a tweet on draft night where like I'm going to be completely honest, he wasn't on my radar because he was a guy that really came off the bench. And I already, like, their main guys were Chaz Lanier and Igor Milicic, and I just didn't like them all that much. And I even texted Sean draft day. I'm like,
Coleman.
Sean Coleman, yeah. I texted Sean Coleman, former GUB writer with me. I was like, I wish I did more study on Jamai Meshack because I've just, like, I don't know. Like, if you're that good defensively, all you need is like a 34% three-point shot, and you're in the NBA.
Well, Jonathan Givony, when the Grizzlies drafted him, said he might be the best perimeter defender in college basketball.
And then Sam Fassini said he might be one of the best perimeter defenders in the world.
Wow. Okay. So, that being said, I have been saying on this show, I think that Javon Small and Meshack should get two of the two-way spots, mm-hmm. without a doubt.
Right.
Pullen, sorry, brother. Yeah, I just haven't seen much from you. And then that third spot is up for debate. I know that some people have been rooting for it to be Bacot. I just don't think he's shown enough. He's good in the G League. He's great in the G League. But when NBA bodies are around him and more size is around him and he has to make more decisions quickly, he seems to be struggling a little bit. So they need to find some sort of big with that third spot. But do you agree that Small and Meshack should be the two-way spots, at least two of them?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, with Small, like, you invest the 48th pick in him.
Right.
And he's also a guy, too, that absolute dog defensively. He was a good shooter off the catch at West Virginia. He's a sound decision maker. I think he averaged, like, 5.5 assists against, like, a little under 3 turnovers a game. So, like, good decision maker. And I think he's a guy that when he's not having as much scoring ability, he's going to show how good he is defensively. But yeah, like a big would be cool. The name, he hasn't played yet, but the name I'm keeping an eye on is on the Grizzly Summer League roster, Will Magne. He's from Australia. He's an older, he'd be an older two-way guy. Shows that he was born in 1998, which makes us feel old, that that's considered old for a two-way spot, except for George. I mean, they brought him over for a reason. I think it makes sense. I just think they kind of need somebody that's either a 4 or 5 just to kind of give some more depth to the front court. I think they're pretty good on the wing. Think they're good in the guard room. Just go get a guy that's either a 4 or 5. He's good. Dominic Barlow, he got his team option declined from Atlanta. I think he'd be a good option, too, as an athletic forward. But, yeah, no, I agree that but Pullen, like, I hate it because, like, he had a nasty
injury,
I think.
Yeah.
And now they brought in another guard and then another defensive-minded 2-3. Like, I just think, you know, the writing's kind of on the wall for him. But I don't think it's much of an indictment on his game. It's just like when you're talking about two-way contracts, especially the NBA moves fast, man. Like the you can look up and like, oh, I'm on a two-way contract, and then the draft comes around and they draft your replacement. You know, you're not irreplaceable. It's a two-way contract.
Your Substack, though, can't replace that. Plug it one more time for us.
Yep, Substack Elitist, substackelitist.substack.com, Memphis Grizzlies NBA Draft Substack. And if you decide to subscribe, you are essentially just making a donation to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital,
which we all love here in the city of Memphis, one of our pride and joys. Parker, thank you so much. You can find him on Twitter at @Paka_Flocka. When we come back, we will do small talk and wrap up the show. Stick around. You're listening to Connor Dunning on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Welcome back into the Gabe Kuhn Show. This is Connor Dunning filling in for Gabe Kuhn. A show update for you. Unfortunately, Gabe decided to fly with Southwest, and it seems like he may be having some plane troubles. So guess what? George and I are going to be back tomorrow, live in studio, 4 o'clock to 6 p.m., but I got good news for everybody out there. The big man is going to join us at 4:30. He's going to be one of our guests tomorrow. We're also going to have David Cobb on tomorrow with us as well, so make sure you are tuned in. We are going to open the show most likely talking about Grizzly Summer League, but we did get some tough news. Oof. George, can you just read off to me the starting lineup tonight and who's out for the Memphis Grizzlies?
I sure can. This comes, of course, from the great Drew Hill. Our starters, starting at the 1, Mayshak; at the 2, Fleming Jr.; at the 3, Hinton; at the 4, Jeremy Jones; and at the 5, Efton Reed III. Our out in the street clothes, we've got Cedric Coward, Javon Small, Will Magne, who we just talked about, has not touched the floor yet, for what that's worth. Zion Pullen, G.G. Jackson, Jalen Wells, Armando Bacot, and Cam Spencer. So, if you want to save a couple hours, keep that television away from NBA TV.
No, it's the Mayshak show, baby. Just up his fouls to 20. Let's see what happens.
Give him
20.
Give him the rest of the starting five.
Yeah, exactly.
Give him 50. Just let him go to work.
Whole, yeah, honestly, just give him as many fouls as humanly possible.
The other 4 can't foul. He can foul 50 times.
I really hope he has a good performance tonight because I fell in love with him last night. And if he breaks my heart tonight,
God,
it's going to be very difficult
tonight
to come in here tomorrow and do Mayshak propaganda because, you know, we're already going to the printing press. Parker and I, we are looking at the possibility of buying islands, you know, for Mayshak Island. That's a possibility. So, you know, we're talking to our realtor. Hopefully we can find some land here soon. He better have a good performance tonight. Please have a good performance tonight. Please. That's going to be it for the Gabe Kuhn Show today, though. Again, we're going to be back here tomorrow, same time, same place, 4 to 6 p.m., me and King George. Gabe Kuhn is going to join us at 4:30. We're going to have David Cobb at 5 o'clock. I want to thank Christian Fowler for joining me today. He does amazing work over at Bluff City Media. Make sure you are going to follow him and look at all of his work. His podcast that he does with Gabe Kuhn is fantastic. And then, of course, Parker Fleming, thank you so much for joining me. One of the best basketball minds in the country. Go subscribe to his Substack Elitist and support St. Jude, one of our pride and joys here in the city of Memphis. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Get home safely. Drive safely. Peace.